I'd like to read from 2 Corinthians chapter 11. 2 Corinthians chapter 11. Oh, that you would bear with me in a little folly. And indeed you do bear with me. For I am jealous for you with godly jealousy. For I have betrothed you to one husband, that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. But I fear, lest somehow, as the serpent deceived Eve, by his craftiness, so your minds may be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. For if he who comes preaches another Jesus, whom we have not preached, or if you receive a different spirit, which you have not received, or a different gospel, which you have not accepted, you may well put up with it. Amen. I remember explaining to the headmaster at school a few years ago, who told me that it's wrong to use sarcasm with children. I assured him that I was using irony. So if you're a little offended that Paul is being a little sarcastic, call it irony. Oh, that you would bear with me in a little folly. Oh, that you would put up with my foolishness. Again, there are false teachers creeping into the church at Corinth. And they're saying that Paul is foolish and what he preaches is daft. And Paul says, oh, that you would bear with me in my foolishness. And indeed you do bear with me. Oh, you've been putting up with me now all this time. Will you put up with me a little longer? At least until I get to the end of my letter. And then the irony stops in verse 2. And he becomes deadly serious. What does he say? For I am jealous for you with godly jealousy. Here is a church which, like a wayward child, has caused him much grief, and yet he loves them. And when he sees them being led astray, jealousy is provoked. You who are Christ's people are being led astray, going after charlatans and crooks and ne'er-do-wells, and I am jealous for you. He says, I have betrothed you to one husband, that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. And there is a picture in the New Testament of the church being the bride of Christ. Christ is the bridegroom, and he's coming for his bride. In the meantime, we are to be ready and prepare ourselves for that great wedding feast to which we are invited and we are going, but we are not to soil ourselves or spoil ourselves in the meantime. We are certainly not, to continue the metaphor, go after other men or other gospels. Imagine somebody who is to marry, but before the wedding date comes, she has a fling with another man. How dreadful would that be? Paul is saying, you Corinthians are in danger of that. You've been betrothed to Christ, then why, pray tell, are you going elsewhere? The picture then moves off from a wedding or marriage to the book of Genesis, the foundation of everything. This time, Paul is suggesting there is a repetition of the fall taking place, and he refers to the serpent deceiving Eve by being crafty in the Garden of Eden. Adam and Eve were foolish for heeding the serpent, but the serpent was using his craftiness to entice their rebellion. And Paul is suggesting that the danger at Corinth is that there is a rerun of the fall about to take place. There is a serpent slithered into the Eden of Corinth, and he's whispering into Eve's ear, the ear of the church, rebellion, new theology, new light. We know that in Christ our minds are being renewed. But here he talks about the minds of the Corinthians being corrupted. What from? The simplicity that is in Christ. I know people can write very heavy tomes of theology and go off and study this and study that, but the gospel really is incredibly simple. There are many Naamans in our country who reject the gospel because of its pure simplicity. Believe in the Lord Jesus and you will be saved. Oh, I'm glad of that simplicity. Jesus loves me. This I know. For the Bible tells me so. You don't need a degree or a diploma. You don't need a certificate in a frame above your desk. You simply need to believe the message of the Bible. The message of the Bible is that we are fallen and corrupted, but Christ, who was unfallen and uncorrupted, came to earth, lived the life we couldn't live and died the death we ought to have died, that by believing in him, all our sin can be forgiven. And that when our time comes, we go to be with him forever. But something's going wrong at Corinth. The false teachers are coming in and they're saying, it's really not that straightforward. And that is what false religion will always do. Complicate. Corrupt. Although it's not clear in this particular section, or at least this section so far, false religion will always attack the person, the dignity, and the offices of Jesus Christ. It was an appropriate reading we had before. John, in his epistles, is writing to churches where the teachers there are saying or denying that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh. They're either saying he wasn't really a human being. Oh, he looked like one, he sounded like one. He didn't feel like one. He was a spirit, a mirage. Or they're saying he is flesh, but just another human being. The Colossian church is also being polluted, corrupted, complicated by false teaching. They too are attacking the dignity of Jesus Christ. Almost certainly, they're saying he is an angel. And part of the reasons the Colossian letter was written was to correct them of that. So the gospel is simple. But Paul goes on to warn in verse 4, for if he, and I think that he was known to them, there is a particular person here. We are not given his name, in part because that he is with us in every generation. There is always somebody who denies Jesus Christ in the church. For if he who comes preaches another Jesus whom we have not preached, or if you receive a different spirit which you have not received, or a different gospel which you have not accepted, and he reverts to his sarcasm in the last clause, you may well put up with it. But that phrase, when I was studying in verse 4, really gripped me. He who comes and preaches another Jesus. How many Jesuses are there? Well, there's one. And the alternatives which are offered or promoted are not real. They're figments of imagination. The Gnostics of Colossae almost certainly are teaching that Jesus is just one emanation of the divine. A great angel, a great and powerful figure. But says Paul, he is the image of the invisible gods, the firstborn over all creation. For by him all things were created, that are in heaven, that are on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created through him and for him. Almost certainly Paul is referring there to angels. All these angels which are out there, he created. They were created by him. They were created through him. They were created for him. Same with people. You were created by him. You were created for him. Why are people unfulfilled? Because they were created for Jesus Christ, but him they will not have. That's why they fill their lives with money or pleasure. Because the one for whom they were created, they spurn. But false religion comes up with alternative versions of him. This morning I preached from John chapter 8, the woman caught in adultery. And I've heard it said, not preached in any church I would attend, but I've heard it said that actually, you know, Jesus is really a free-thinking liberal. And there's the kind of conservative establishment saying, no, adultery is wrong. And Jesus comes along and says, hey, it doesn't really matter. As long as you really love him. That's another Jesus. That's not the Jesus who said to her, I don't condemn you, but go and sin no more. That's another Jesus. Or the Jesus that people have and preach that affirms everyone and every lifestyle. In fact, Jesus said, take up your cross and follow me. He calls upon his followers to deny themselves. Not to keep on doing what you enjoy. Not to live for pleasure or live for self, but actually to deny yourself, to decrease yourself that he might increase. That's what he taught. Much of his preaching is recorded in the Gospels, and he calls some of his hearers broods of vipers. Even today, there are those who say, he's just an angel. There are those who say, he was just a prophet. One of a long line of many. That's another Jesus. In diverse times in the past, God spoke to us through prophets and patriarchs, but now he speaks to us through his Son. Or you might go to some fabulously decorated, well-populated churches, and the Jesus preached there. Oh, he's a real great guy. He gives you whatever you want. Oh, sure, you've got to stuff the collection boxes with money every week, but apart from that, he gives you whatever you want. Just believe it, and you've got it. That's another Jesus. When he said, ask in my name and you will receive it, he wasn't just saying, ask for whatever you want and at the end tack on in the name of Jesus, and that's like a guarantee. When you ask in his name, you ask according to his will, according to his character, according to his glory. You are effectively saying, thy will be done. Don't get me wrong. It is a good thing to conclude prayers in the name of Jesus. I do it myself. And it is good to believe that he hears us and will answer. But we have to be honest. I have prayed many times for things and the Lord has not given what I want, given what I asked for. Because when you pray in his name, you're saying, Lord, this is what I really would like. But thy will be done anyway. These people are preaching another Jesus. There is a Jesus preached who is so fierce that you can only approach him through his mother. That's another Jesus. Let me tell you, you'll never find anyone more gentle or kind, compassionate, and loving as Christ himself. One day he will return as sovereign judge, and those who rejected him would rather be crushed by mountains than stand before him. But now, this is what he says, come unto me, all you who are weary and heavy laden. For I am gentle and my yoke is easy. There is no mediator between us and Christ. He is the mediator between us and the Father. Evidently, Paul is so concerned about the Corinthian church that people are coming and they're preaching a Jesus which they have made up. I have no doubt the Jesus they preached was more philosophically respectable. Elsewhere, Paul says, but we preach Christ crucified. foolishness to the Greek, a stumbling block to the Jew, but it's he whom we preach. He then goes on to talk about if you've received a different spirit. It's not always clear in the Bible if it's talking about an actual spiritual being or rather an idea or a concept. But I put it to you. There are those who claim to speak on God's behalf. But it's not the Holy Spirit who suggests what they say. It's their own spirit. Or worse. But what about a different gospel? Gospel, of course, means good news. It is the way, the method, the plan that God wrought in order that we might be reconciled to him. Fancy that. That before you were even born, God found a way to reconcile you to him. Wow. That is good news. Sometimes in churches we say things like, you know, doesn't matter what bad things you've done, he will forgive you. But when somebody tells us the bad things we've done, we kind of go pale and think, will it cover that? It will cover that. There might be things in your past of which you are deeply, deeply troubled and ashamed. But the grace of God found in the gospel can save even you. But what about the different gospels Paul refers to? What of them? Well, a fake gospel is no gospel. Some of you know how boring I am. I collect coins. Slightly less boring than collecting stamps, which is itself slightly less boring than looking at trains, but there you go. But I once bought a coin, and it arrived, and it was quite clearly fake. It was the right shape. It was even the right colour. It had upon it the late Queen's head, and on the other side, the correct impression. But it was gold plated. You could tell straight away by picking it up. That's not gold. I don't have it now, by the way, so don't bother burgling if you... Yeah. But imagine a gold coin as opposed to a gold plated coin. They both look like gold. In fact, when you imagine or you see both of them, you're looking and touching at gold. But you scratch beneath the surface and one is base and the other is not. And a false gospel is gold-plated dross. And if anyone tells you, yes, God loves you, yes, Jesus died, but you need to top up what he did by doing this or doing that or doing the other, it's another gospel. If someone tells you that you must belong to a certain church and you must give so much money to it every month and only then will God accept, it's another gospel. And if someone says, yes, God is merciful, and you've got to do your best to be good and hope for the best, it's another gospel. Paul says, you may well put up with it. In other words, the Corinthians really, I think, are 21st century people. I think they'd fit in really, really well in our country. They are so tolerant. that kind of concluding clause there is, you tolerate these people, you tolerate the gospels that they preach, the spirits that they deliver, the other Jesuses that they imagine and make up, you tolerate all of that. Perhaps the time has come to stop tolerating it. Why? Because you are betrothed to one husband. Why? Because when Eve heeded the serpent, it kind of didn't end very well. Why? Because the simplicity of Christ is always more beautiful than any man-made complication. I pray that we at Salem Chapel will never have preached another Jesus or another Spirit or another Gospel. The age-old Gospel, the one preached by Wesley and Whitfield, Calvin and Luther, Wycliffe, John, Peter, Paul. The times were different, the passions were different. The gospel was the same. And I pray that if the Lord tarries and in 200 years' time, we aren't going to be here. But if the Lord tarries, God willing, there will be people still in this church. And they'll be planning for the 400th anniversary. And they'll read the records of us and wonder who we were and all the rest of it. But I pray that in this pulpit, which I'm not currently standing in, but you know my point, in this pulpit we'll be faithful. People enjoy innovation. Adam and Eve enjoyed innovation. And it ended badly. We're not called to be innovative in our theology, but faithful. Amen.